The following program is a presentation of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
Did you know that eBay works differently than every other auction site, and most eBay users are doing it wrong? Good morning, everyone. Welcome to In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm David Bluestein.
And I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio.
We're here each Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to provide an insider's view on the world of jewelry, coins, antiques, collectibles, and much more. As owners and operators of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, we're on the front line with a finger on the pulse of these markets every day. And as of right now, you have a friend in the business. Yes, eBay works differently than every other auction site, and most eBay users are doing it wrong. Today on our Insider Report, you'll get the inside story on what's wrong with eBay. Also, we'll be talking to Carrie McCorkle, eBay power seller, and we'll be taking your calls and emails on the subject of making eBay and other auction sites work for you. I want all of our listeners right now to jump up and run to your computer, go to ebay.com, that's www.ebay.com, and do a search for this item number. Ready? 230-834-935-144. I know you got that. Search for that right now. If you're driving, of course, just steer with your knees for a minute and take out your smartphone and punch in item number 230-834-935-144. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to own a genuine $1 bill right from my wallet. The subtitle on this listing, it's no different than the $1 bills in your own wallet, and the starting bid only $1,000. Why would we waste our time and your time doing this? Well, Adam's laughing because he knows exactly why. All week long, folks, every day, people come in to show us their valuables. They come into our gallery at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak in San Antonio, and they show us something that they have that they think is valuable. And why do they think it's valuable? Because they looked it up on eBay, and it's going for how many thousands of dollars on eBay? Everything that everybody has sells for very, very high prices on eBay. And what they're really doing is they're searching for their item. They're finding something that's similar or maybe identical, and they're looking to see what's the starting bid. The person who listed this on eBay, what are they trying to get for it? And once they see that, they figure that's what it's going for on eBay. We see that at an antique store, too. If you go into an antique store and you see a painting that with a $100 price tag on it, and you go in a week later, $100 price tag, a week later, $100 price tag, people, some reason, think that the painting's worth $100, yet doesn't that kind of prove that it's not worth $100? Because you see it week after week, and no one's willing to pay. All you really learned is that it's worth something less than $100. Any jackass can list an item on eBay and start the bidding at any price he chooses. For example, you could take an ordinary $1 bill out of your wallet and create an eBay auction with a starting bid of $1,000. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I did last Sunday, just so we could show you something. If you know how to search on eBay, you have a very powerful tool at your disposal. But if you don't know how to search, all you have is misinformation, and you're just going to confuse everybody when you try to tell them what you have and what it's worth, and you'll be disappointed when your merchandise actually sells. We're going to tell you right now how to do a search on eBay, the only kind of meaningful search there is on eBay. You have to go to eBay and find the search bar, and don't type in it. To the right of the search bar is a little button that says Advanced, and you're going to click on the Advanced Search button. And when you do that, you'll type in your keywords, whatever it is you're looking for, whatever it is you have and you want to get some more information about. And it's helpful to choose a category. For example, if you had a 1943 zinc-plated steel penny, how about 1943 penny or 1943 cent? And then you can choose the coin and currency category. But you're not ready to hit the search bar. First, you have to go down a little bit more. Sometimes you have to scroll down a little bit and look for a little box that says completed listings and click the box, completed listings. Now you can hit the search button. And what's going to come up are a number of auctions on eBay that have ended within the last few days and even up to the last 2 weeks. And if you can find your merchandise on there, something that's substantially the same or identical to what you have in your hand, you're going to find out something. You're going to find out if your merchandise like yours, has actually sold on eBay in an auction that has ended. And recently, too, this information isn't really, really old. This is really recent information. You're going to see a bunch of prices on concluded auctions. Some of the prices will be red and some will be green. If it's red, what you see are auctions that ended with nobody buying the merchandise. If it's green, you're going to find auctions where the merchandise actually sold. So what you discover is if that 1943 zinc-plated steel penny actually sold for $2.50, let's say, because the price is green, you might think that yours might be worth in the neighborhood of $2.50. But if you see one that says $50 and the price is red, well, it wasn't worth $50 or the price would be green. I think that's clear. I don't know how to say that any differently.
And sometimes I often see the same thing listed by the same person again and again and again and again at the same price. And
they're beating a dead horse.
And eventually, sometimes what I'll see is that somebody may actually pay that. It's a buy it now price. And what that doesn't mean is that it was bid up to that amount. What it means is that somebody finally said, okay, I'll pay your starting price, and it's sold. And so if we were to offer something like that at auction, I wouldn't expect it to be bid up to that same amount necessarily.
In the same way that any jackass can list any item on eBay and ask any price he wants as a starting bid, well, any jackass can agree to pay that price. If somebody lost his mind and actually bid $1,000 on that dollar bill from my wallet, that doesn't prove that the dollar bill was worth $1,000. It just proves that there's a jackass out there who's willing to pay $1,000 for it. I mean, what else does that mean?
I hope it doesn't happen.
So, I hope not, too. I'd hate to have to. Well, in a way, I kind of hope it does happen. Why not? So if it's green, if the price is green, it means it did sell. But if you see that it's sold at a buy it now, or even that there was only one bidder, all that means is that there was a starting bid and one person was willing to pay that price. So if you brought us or any auction company or even eBay the same merchandise and hoped to find other people willing to pay that price, that's not an indication that that's going to happen. The best information you can get is to do a search on eBay, from completed auctions, hit the completed listings button, and find green pricing that has more than one participant, because that means there was an actual auction, and that's where the pricing ended. So anyway, that's helpful information. That's useful and gives you some indication what people will pay for your merchandise at a public auction. And never say that an ordinary $1 bill is selling for $1,000 on eBay just because you got to our website and you found that that's what we were asking for it. Now it's time for this week's In the Money Trivia Quiz, the quiz where you win the answer. First, as always, let's review last week's quiz. At one point in United States history, we had a 5-cent coin that was made out of silver that was known as a half dime. At that same time, we also had a dime, a 20-cent piece, a quarter, a half dollar, and a silver dollar, all with the same design, all made of 90% pure silver. What a stupid idea. How confusing that is. The half dime, the 20-cent piece, that's why those denominations didn't last. Even if you think maybe we needed those, it was just all too confusing, like the Susan B. Anthony dollars of 1979, 80, and 81. They got confused with quarters, and they couldn't last. We couldn't make use of those. The question last week, though, is what do we call that design? And the answer, the seated Liberty design. Some people call it Liberty seated. We would have accepted either design name. And we did have a winner. Our winner was Rob Donahue. And your prize, Mr. Donahue, is a nice specimen of a genuine 1854 New Orleans seated Liberty half dollar. And all you have to do is come to our Jewelry Exchange and Auction Gallery at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days to claim your prize. Our gallery is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday evenings for our live auction. For more information, just click the Contact Us tab on our website at www.jewelryexchangeandauction.com if you need a map or any more information, or our phone number if you want to give us a call. Congratulations, Mr. Donahue. And now Adam is going to tell you this week's quiz.
All right, this week's quiz. Listen carefully. What self-titled brand of designer jewelry was born in 1954? That's the brand was born in 1954, not the designer. In Kerrville, Texas, features religious and secular themes, and today is well known exclusively in Texas.
Ryan, our producer, is putting his hand up, so I think I got a feeling a few people are going to get this right.
They can all be real hard. to be a winner this week, all you have to do is be the first person to email the correct answer to quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. You can also submit your answer directly from our homepage at www.inthemoneyradio.com. And then listen to next week's show to see if we read your name on the air. And if we do, come claim your prize at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days. Enter as often as you like, but please only one winner per household per month. And remember, that email address is quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. That's quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. And good luck. Now let's take a short commercial break.
Hi, everybody. This is David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction and co-host of KLUP's In the Money radio program. Last Saturday evening, we held our 153rd auction at our Stone Oak Gallery, the Jewelry Exchange. Over 13,000 qualified bidders previewed our 313 lots of jewelry, coins, currency, firearms, and a variety of collectibles. Then 225 online bidders and 50 gallery bidders actively competed to win each lot. The highest selling lot was a wedding set that sold for $3,400. 2 weeks ago, we sold a GIA diamond for $12,000. Our record price for a piece of jewelry is $30,000. The most expensive coin last week was an 1893 Carson City silver dollar that sold for $1,800. Our record for a single coin is $50,000. Last Saturday, 98 lots sold for $20 or less. Each week, truly, we have something for everybody. Overall, we sold just under $38,000 in new and estate merchandise in just over 3 hours. Our record for a single sale is $135,000. No other auction house around comes even close to these numbers, and we do it every Saturday night. In fact, we're doing it again tonight at 7 o'clock. And no other auction house around has credentials anything like ours, not even close. We buy some of the merchandise that we sell. We buy from dealers or people just like you. Other pieces are on consignment from dealers or, again, people just like you. When you're selling, we're aggressive buyers, and when you have a couple of weeks to consign, we'll be aggressive sellers for you. Really, what's in your closet? We need your unwanted valuables. Jewelry, coins, currency, firearms, almost any unwanted valuable. You can sell it on the spot or auction it for even more money. You'll get more at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604, member of the Better Business Bureau. Call us at 210-592-8786. That's 210-592-8786. Or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com for more information. And join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here at KLUP. Well, you're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Our show today, what's wrong with eBay? In a little while, we're going to have Carrie McCorkle on, who's going to give us her take on it. Carrie's an eBay power seller doing business, just celebrated her 10th year of doing business on eBay. But Adam and I have some experience with eBay, and, we don't like it. And I'm going to tell you some of the reasons why. You know how an auction works? You call for bids. The auctioneer calls for bids, and people start bidding, and the auctioneer is supposed to take bids until people stop bidding. until nobody wants to bid anymore. You know, the old English style, going once, going twice, and if no one wants to bid, then sold, very nice and calm. The guy in my town in California, when I first got started, he'd call for bids, and he'd say, y'all done, y'all through? And that was his way of letting you know that you better bid right now or it's all over. Me, I call for bids, 5 now, 10 now, 10 now, 20, 20 now, 25, 30 now, 45, whatever. And then when I'm ready, I just say, bid, 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 bid. And it takes you about 30 seconds at one of our auctions to know that that means we're finished. And if you don't put your hand up right now, it's all done. But as long as people keep bidding, I'm going to keep taking the bids. It takes us an average of 40 seconds to sell an item at the jewelry exchange. But if we have to go for 2 minutes because people, if we have to go for 15 minutes because people will not stop bidding, we're going to give you that opportunity. Adam, you got your own style, right?
Yeah, every auctioneer is going to have his own style. That's why, like last week we were talking about auctions. I was saying, if you're new to the auctioneer, watch a couple lots sell, and very soon, if you pay attention, you'll understand exactly what's happening. When I'm ending my bid calling for a particular lot, I might say 40 now, 40. Anybody bid 40, there's now 45. Anybody bid 45, now 50. 50 now, 50 now, 50 now, 50 now, 50. Sold.
And when you hear Adam go, 50, you better get your hand up, because he's telling you, it looks like no one else wants to bid, right? And if you want to bid, you got to stick your hand up. Now, even in a timed auction, our online trading platform is ProxyBid.com, a real auction company. And I'm going to tell you why I say that as opposed to eBay. In a timed auction on ProxyBid.com, if the bidding has 1 minute to go, then 30 seconds and 15 seconds, and then you place a bid, all of a sudden, the bidding's going to stay open for another 2 or 3 minutes and give you a chance to bid some more. And that's just not the way it works on eBay. What people often don't understand about eBay or ProxyBid or putting absentee bids in one of our auctions is that if you're willing to pay $100 for a piece of merchandise, you should go ahead and bid $100. On ProxyBid.com, for example, if you put in a bid of $100 and no one has bid yet, ProxyBid.com software is going to show a $5 bid. And then if somebody else comes in and raises that bid to $6, ProxyBid.com software is going to jump up to $7. And where does $7 come from? Well, that's you, because you bid up to $100. But just because you bid $100 doesn't mean that the software starts at $100. But that's not what... And eBay will do it like that, too. Don't get me wrong. But it seems that what people want to do on eBay is they want to sit back and they don't want to bid. And what they want to do at the very last second is snipe. eBay is made for snipers. When you snipe, the high bid might be $2 and the auction has 10 seconds to go, 5 seconds to go. And then all of a sudden the auction is over and the lot sold for $17.50. You say, where did all that come from? Well, believe it or not, there is sniping software that helps people get in at the very last microsecond. And I'm always thinking, doesn't all this software compete with each other? And so a lot of people are trying to wait till the last second because they know at 5 o'clock, for example, that eBay item stops. And whoever's the high bidder is the winner. And if there's a lot of bidding at 1/10 of a second before 5 o'clock, that auction is still going to stop at 5 o'clock. So it doesn't work the same way that real auctions work, where the auctioneer or the software continues to ask for the bid until it's all over. Sniping is done by people who are trying to steal the merchandise at just the lowest increment they can get over the current bid, and doesn't really reflect what people are really willing to bid. Now, frankly, you can't blame the snipers. I thought eBay was wrong when I saw that right when they first came out. Sniping is how the eBay game is played.
It seems to hurt the buyers and the sellers.
Well,
it's not fair to the buyers.
It's not fair to the buyers because they think they're the high bidder and they sit back, and then somebody else snipes in with the software right at the last second. It's certainly not fair to the sellers because given enough time, I think there would have been more competition and that price would have gone higher. And frankly, it's not even fair to eBay. eBay works for a commission. We work for a commission. Sometimes people might even accuse us of not taking their bid when the fact is I couldn't see their bid. why would I ignore a bid when I'm working for a commission? I'm going to accept every bid I can see.
And also for the seller, we try to get as much money as we can. I hope that it sells for $1 million because I'm in for a percentage of that.
So what you have to understand is that if you want to bid on eBay or on proxybid.com or even at an absentee bid at one of our auctions at the Jewelry Exchange, is go ahead and place a bid for your highest maximum level. And what's going to happen is that we and our software and eBay software is going to recognize your bid at a much lower level. And then as people bid against your maximum bid, we or the software is going to bump up the high bid to represent your high bid. Your max bid is as far as we or the software will take it. But we don't start you out at that. And I know the first time in that people are afraid that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, very often people ask me, Adam, what should I bid on this? How high do you think it's going to go? Because they're trying to play try to figure out what are they going to write down for their absentee bid or what are they going to enter for their maximum bid? And I tell them, no, you're playing it all wrong. That you figure out what is the maximum that you're willing to pay and put it in. All the time people say, oh, I put in a max of $30. And it went for $35. I would have paid more than that. And I say, well, you should have put in a higher maximum bid.
Put your bid
in. And that way you're either going to get it at or below your maximum, or you'll be outbid at a price at a level you weren't willing to go.
And frankly, that's what I think is wrong with eBay. eBay isn't, on eBay, the highest bidder doesn't win. The last bidder wins. I think that's a big distinction. I promise you on proxybid.com at our auction, at every other auction I've ever been to, the highest bidder wins. But on eBay, it's the last bidder, and I don't know why they chose that. I mean, we have some software experience between us, and they could have easily have created an auction.
Of course, it's possible.
Yeah. Now, that's my main gripe about eBay, although I know from talking to people for many years that other people have other gripes too. But I've got a story that is still not resolved that bothers me to this day, and something else is wrong with eBay, and I think that I'm pretty confident, in fact, that Carrie's going to have something to say about it. But, you know, eBay has a relationship with PayPal. In fact, eBay owns a company called PayPal. They used to be separate. PayPal makes it easy for people to pay online and have good electronic paper trails, good electronic trails, and they try to represent the buyer and the seller, supposedly. And PayPal has become kind of a standard on how you pay on eBay, although there are some other possibilities. Well, Adam and I bought a huge estate for almost $200,000, nothing but rare coins, and we filled up our next auction with rare coins, and we still had a bunch of them sitting in a safe. And I said, well, why shouldn't we put some of them on eBay? Let's try to move them. In our business, we're always concerned that the markets might crash tomorrow or in the next 5 minutes, and so we don't like to sit on large amounts of gold and silver. So we took a 12-ounce Chinese panda coin, a rare, high-grade coin, and put it for sale on eBay. And at the time, 12 ounces of gold was about $18,000 at the time. And we put the piece on eBay, and the bidding began. And we put it up for a 5-day auction because if we didn't like the price it had brought, we were going to put it into our next live auction, where indeed we liquidated the rest of that collection. And the bidding became furious, fast and furious, and went all the way up to $26,000, and the auction ended, and we agreed to accept, the lot sold at $26,000. In our instructions, we said we don't take PayPal. We don't take PayPal because PayPal charges a percentage for handling the money. And we're already merchants. We already have a merchant account. We already have a deal worked out with a bank where we get a very preferential rate. And so we figured that, okay, the buyer can just call us, give us a credit card number, and we'll run it through our rate, our bank, and we'll save 1% of $2,600. That's $260.
And if we were nobodies, I would expect somebody to want us to go through PayPal because they get some kind of protection. But we're licensed by the Better Business, we are members of the Better Business Bureau and licensed by the state of Texas.
Yeah,
so they have higher authorities.
We have credentials. We can prove, and we have a perfect eBay score. So this gentleman, of course, didn't read the instructions, and he wants to pay through eBay. And we say, no,
PayPal,
we want it through PayPal. And we say no. And finally we say, okay, because we want to make the sale. So he transfers the money from his account to PayPal, and then it takes a day or two or three to clear, and we go to draw the money out of PayPal, and instead of the money, we get a message saying, who are you? Where did you get this merchandise? How much did you pay for it? And I'm horrified, but I start answering the questions. And who are we? Well, we give them our credentials. Well, let's see a financial statement. Let's see an invoice for the piece that you bought. They really want to know where we got it. We're telling them and telling them, and finally they say, now we want your personal guarantee of that if anything goes wrong, I personally will reach into my own pocket. And finally I said, you know, we're licensed. And they said, we don't care. And I said, look, we're a successful company. We got there without eBay. We got there without PayPal. We don't need eBay. We don't need PayPal and eBay. And so we undid the deal, and we told the buyer, your choice, do it or don't do it. And he did agree to the credit card. We made the deal. But to this day, we get these messages from PayPal that I won't even answer anymore. We don't need them. That money. That music means that we're up against a hard break. KLUP is going to take you away. We're back in just a minute with Kerry McCorkle, eBay Power Seller. You're listening to In the Money with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? We're here this morning with Kerry McCorkle, eBay Power Seller. Welcome, Kerry. Thanks for joining us on In the Money.
Thank you for having me.
Kerry, eBay, full-time or part-time?
Part-time.
What are you doing the rest of the time?
I work for a textbook company out of Missouri.
And actually, that's right. I remember you telling me about that one time. What is that exactly does that textbook company do?
We buy used books and resell them, so it fits in quite nicely with the eBay theory.
It's all about buying and selling. That's what this show is all about, too.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's all widgets.
It's all widgets. We're buying and selling, and there's certain rules that you follow and certain rules you better not break, too. And so how long have you been doing business on eBay?
10 years.
I think you told us you just celebrated your 10-year anniversary. And how do you do it? I know that eBay has auctions or stores or some other varieties.
I have strictly stuck with the auction style.
And what are the other options? How else can you sell merchandise?
There's buy
on
it
eBay?
Now pricing, and then there's also storefronts.
And can you tell us what that means?
Storefronts. A lot of companies now have gotten to the point where they have excess merchandise that they're trying to offload, and they've gone to eBay with it. There are a lot of companies, Macy's, Neiman Marcus has a website.
Wow.
There's a lot of companies that have started offloading their surplus.
But there's no auction aspect. There's no bidding aspect in the store, I believe, right?
Correct.
Well, I know that we have some customers too, that have their own stores on mm-hmm. eBay that don't even do auctions. They just put it on there with a fixed price. But you do only the auction option.
Correct.
And I know you've told us before that you've owned an antique mall in the past.
That's correct. I owned an antique mall in Missouri.
And what happened with that?
It was time to move on.
Time to move on.
Being tied down to a store every day was just not my idea of a good time.
Now tell me, do you specialize in a particular kind of merchandise?
Lately, I've dealt with designer items. I do a lot of Burberry, Coach, designer. What is it? Wickets?
Widgets.
Yeah, for people that aren't familiar with that term, a widget is a product reference that's used at business school. Because if you're buying something, you're selling something. I mean, you can have the Smith Widget Company. What do? We buy and sell widgets. What's a widget? I don't know. It's whatever you want it to be. What difference does it make? I've often said in the past that I could buy and sell nuclear power because I know something about buying and selling, yet I know nothing about nuclear power.
I had a friend once tell me that if I could sell my mother and make a profit, that I would do it.
Oh boy.
So there's nothing I won't try.
So I hope your mother's not listening. You specialize in brand name merchandise.
Yes.
And where do you get the merchandise from?
I frequent the outlet malls and sales. So it's all new merchandise. So I can back what I'm selling. I won't buy anything on the secondary market just because I don't want to have run into, is it real or is it not? Well, I want to know that it's real.
Right, you can guarantee authenticity. Yes. That's very important. Otherwise, if you can't guarantee authenticity, why should anybody bid anything on it?
That was the theme of our show last week. We spent the Christmas season in Vietnam, and Adam was just in New York City just over a week ago for his GIE continuing education, and there's stuff all over the place. Adam said the price goes down the closer the police get.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton and Rolex all for well under $100.
Now, Carrie, you've been here and you heard everything that we were saying about sniping and last minute bidding on eBay. Our position is that it's not fair to the buyer, it's not fair to the seller, and that it's not even fair to eBay. But during the break, you told us you disagree with that. Do you like the sniping and you like the last minute bidding? What do you mean by that? And how dare you disagree with me?
Well, it goes back to what you said. Know what you want to pay for an item. And if you have put in a bid, you shouldn't be sitting there waiting till the last second thinking, okay, great, I've got it. Because if you've put in the bid of what you want to pay for it and somebody snipes it, you can't be mad.
Now I see what you mean. If somebody just pays more than you're willing to pay,
right,
then how can you complain?
You should have put in your highest bid to begin with.
Yeah, people don't seem to understand that.
Because you're sitting there playing the same game that the sniper's playing, only they're playing it better.
Right, I know you're hoping to get it for
right.
less, but if you're really, how many times have I seen people walk
I've
away?
I've done it.
Yeah, upset, even angry, and they're angry with me. What did I do wrong? I just took the bid. Somebody beat you. I'm sorry.
I've lost stuff on eBay to snipe, and sat there and said, okay, well, it's your fault because you didn't put in what you wanted to spend. You were playing the game.
Right. So our point then, I think, is that although, you know, maybe the sniping isn't really necessary for eBay to be successful, there is a way to beat that. Just bid what you're willing to pay.
Right.
And if you get outbid, fine. And if you have to pay full bore, well, you were willing to pay it. Of course, you're hoping to get it for less. You hope for less, but then you take what you can get.
Because I believe the snipe program is designed, they do the same thing. They put in their highest bid because they don't know what the highest bid is. That bid is sitting there.
It's true, huh?
There's possibly a cushion. And so the snipe program is designed to only bid up to what they're willing to pay.
But
so as a seller, I want that snipe program because I want that last minute bid.
I see.
Because all that's doing is cushioning what I'm making on that product.
And sometimes just in the last half a second, the bid goes up substantially. You have no idea what's going on until that closes and until you do a completed search and see what actually happened.
Yeah, that used to be very characteristic of eBay. You used to sit there and I took days off because I had a bunch of auctions ending and I'd sit there and watch them. And at the last second, it was really exciting because it would go from $5 to $500. There's not so much of that anymore. People aren't as involved in eBay as they used to be.
Right.
They put in their bid and they go on.
Still, we have a lot of customers who go onto eBay and they find bulk silver coins, for example, and they put in a bid and they're watching and watching and there's 3 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go, and they're the high bidder. And they actually think they're going to win it. And someone just takes it away at the last second.
So as a seller, you should be happy that last second person came through.
Right, but if the bidding just stayed open till everyone stopped, I think the seller would get even more money. I really believe that. So you're doing eBay and you're holding a full-time job. So, I mean, how much time in a week can you devote to eBay?
I have evenings. So my evenings I spend on eBay.
And I'm guessing if you've been doing it for 10 years, it must be profitable.
I do, okay. I do it for... The money that I make on eBay is my money to play with, so it's a hobby.
Somewhat profitable, very profitable.
I do okay.
I don't work for the feds, don't worry.
I think Adam knows that my goal was to buy a Porsche this year.
There you go.
But now, I don't think we'll get that. It's not going to be a new one, just in case anybody's concerned.
So, okay, you get a piece of merchandise and you want to sell it on eBay. What do you have to do?
In order to list the item.
Well, yeah, you have to list it. And what does that even mean?
If I find something that I think there's a good margin in, first of all, I don't buy anything that I don't want to keep. If I don't like it, I don't buy it because I may be stuck with it for the rest of my life.
That's the first
rule that I live by. The second thing is that I will list it as quick as I can because I don't need it just sitting around my apartment collecting dust. So it needs to move out. So I will take it, photograph it, put it on eBay, and I run 5-day auctions. I started on Monday. It ends on Friday. That gives me Saturday and Sunday to get it packed up and shipped out.
Do you do a lot of research on the merchandise you sell?
I research. That's when I don't have stuff listed, that's all I'm doing. I'm picking random topics and doing searches. And it could be anything from boxes to Mickey Mouse to I know nothing about coins. I won't even try to go there, but
well,
I
thank
will
you
pick,
for admitting it. Most people think they know something about coins.
I know how to spend them. That's it.
That's it.
But for the most part, I will pick random topics just so I have a sampling of many different areas. And I do what you guys were talking about earlier on the search. I go to highest price and I see what's important.
That's
what
important.
Color, like with glass. If it's a particular color, it could be very valuable. If it's clear, it could be worth nothing. It could be the exact same piece, but one's worth a dollar, one's worth $100. So the more you can educate yourself on stuff when you're out looking for stuff to sell, the better off you are.
Yeah, those variations can really, really matter in every category.
In everything.
And so you research it because when you put it up for sale, you're going to have a starting price, a reserve price?
I try to start mine low. I like the gamble factor.
Right.
I try to get back out what I've got in it, and then anything on top of that's bonus. But unless I've got a lot invested in something, I start everything usually under $10, just because I think that gives everybody the opportunity to see it and want it.
And participate.
And
in the
participate. And then you get involved in it.
And get carried away.
If it's yours for a little bit, maybe you want it a little bit more.
Right.
So I try to start all mine low.
Yeah, our philosophy is that, you know, we take a lot of merchandise on consignment. We buy a lot of merchandise, too. And if I was to pay $100 for something and we put it into the auction, it sold for $90, I'm going to take the $90 bid and it's gone. And you know what? Next time, I'm not going to pay $100 for it. I have to learn to pay less than $90. Their responsibility is on me, the buyer, and not on the seller. Some people get mad is on me, the buyer, when I'm buying it, and not for the bidder. It's not their fault that they don't want to pay more than that.
Here lately at your all's auction, you guys have done a lot of collectibles,
right?
If that's what they are, they're items. But there's been a lot of Disney stuff, and
well, a lot of people love Disney.
I'm a huge fan of Mickey Mouse, but I did my research before those auctions, and I knew my limits, and I knew where I still had margin to make money and didn't make money.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, for buying, you have to research.
Well, we see you aggressively bidding, and then it hits a point,
and
you're
done.
You're done.
Don't even look at me.
I don't see you making a face saying, maybe I should know.
Unless
you know
it was Woody, which I got a little carried away with, but other than that, you know, there's a limit, and as long as people can stick to that and not get emotionally involved in a piece, then there's money to be made. Once you get emotionally involved in something, then it's probably time to get out.
Carrie, talk to me about old eBay and new eBay.
I think old eBay was fun. Old eBay was simple. There was opportunity there to make a lot of money. New eBay has figured out they've got this great system where they can make lots of money. You used to pay a listing fee and a final valuation fee, and that was it. Now you're paying listing fees, final valuation fees, you're paying fees on shipping,
really?
Which amazes me. You're paying fees on getting your money, which was PayPal. So everything you're paying money to do. And so what used to cost you about 8% to sell, we're up to about 15 to 20% to sell.
Wow.
So it's really changed over the years.
And I've heard both of you saying new eBay and old eBay. I'm not really sure what that means. There's got to be more differences than that to differentiate new from old eBay.
eBay is constantly enhancing what they are doing, whether it be good or bad. I think it's been horrible for the sellers. I think that they've put all the power in the buyer's hands.
I hear that again and again. It's a company that favors the buyers.
Yes. For example, if I send you an item and I don't put insurance on that item and you never get it or it gets to you broken, it's my responsibility as the seller to make sure it gets from my hands to your hands in one piece. If it doesn't, it comes back on me, even if it was completely out of my control.
I see.
It used to be that you could offer insurance on eBay. And if they declined it, then I said,
you know. It's their problem.
But it wasn't.
It's always your problem.
It's always your problem.
Well, you know, that brings me to feedback, because what we've learned, you know, we're members of the Better Business Bureau, never even been a complaint about us to the Better Business Bureau. But people have certainly made complaints to our face. And although most of the time we don't believe, and most of the time we know we didn't do anything wrong, the fact is we don't want to have a black mark on the Better Business Bureau. When you're on eBay, you don't want to get bad feedback, right?
Correct.
And it's not even just the Better Business Bureau. I just don't want people out there saying, those guys burned me.
Right.
And very often all it takes is 10, 15, 20 bucks, and they turn from your enemy to your best friend.
And so on eBay, though, you're protecting your feedback all the time, correct?
Correct. And I've learned the smaller the item, the more inexpensive, the harder it is to please the person. And I know that's wrong. I'm very particular about my feedback. I have, I think in my 10-year history, maybe 3 negatives. And one of them was recently and completely out of my control. The guy was new to eBay. He didn't know how the system worked. He didn't like the item, and he left me a negative.
Yeah.
Completely out of my control.
But on the other hand, the buyers have feedback too, correct?
Correct. But eBay has taken away the ability for a seller to leave a negative feedback.
I didn't know that.
And the reason being is they don't want it to be retaliation. And so the seller's hands are very tied anymore with they can and can't do.
Well, you know, I know that eBay in some respects is trying to protect the buyers because there are unscrupulous sellers, correct?
Correct.
I think we have a question about that later that someone has sent us that we want to talk to. So what kinds of things does eBay require to ensure that the buyers don't get cheated?
Well, I think by them taking control over the payment method, being PayPal, they have the ability to lock up those funds if there is an issue. And all a buyer has to do is file a complaint, and they will hold those funds out of your account until you resolve that issue.
And I guess to some degree, though, that the buyers can try to take advantage of that. Do you ever have people that you know are just trying to play you and take advantage? You're smiling, so I know.
I've never been able to prove it. But it does leave you very vulnerable to that situation. You are completely up to the discretion of the buyer. If the buyer wants to say they never got it, how can I prove that they didn't? If the post, I've learned with international shipping, and this has been another one of my recent tragedies, international shipping, they don't have to scan the barcodes, so there's no tracking. So who knows if it got there or not?
Whether they got it or not. We'd experienced that with American Express, where they said that because we had high-ticket items, mm-hmm. if one of their American Express customers said, hey, I never got the merchandise, that they're simply going to give them the money back. And I said, what if I have a signed delivery receipt from your American Express customer? They said, no, you don't have an opportunity to address it. I said, I can't do business under those circumstances.
What if we have videotape of them receiving it?
So that's why we don't take, people think we don't take American Express because they charge too much. No, we don't take it because they give us no protection. We can't, how can everything be our fault?
Right, and who's to keep any buyer? I mean, that's a bad situation to get into.
Carrie, I'm guessing in 10 years you have some notable eBay adventures, good and bad. Anything that stands out in your mind?
One in particular, when I owned the antique mall, we used to have what we called our charity cases of the week, where people would bring items in to sell because they needed groceries or the electric bill was due or whatever. They just needed cash. And so, you know, we took turns of who was going to take that particular person and buy, because I had different employees that worked for me. And I had a lady walk in and she's like, I have something in my trunk I want you to look at. And I was like, I didn't even look up. I said, is it a dead body?
Is it dead or alive?
good and she's like, oh, no. And it's I look dead. Up and it's a really nicely dressed older woman. And I go, okay, I got this one. So I walk out and I'm looking in the trunk and there's some candlewick glass and there's some other things I'm familiar with. And there's a vase and it's got flowers on it and it's got gold inside. And I flipped it over and looked at the mark on the bottom. I'm like, that's probably not bad. So I asked her what she wanted for her stuff, and she goes, oh, I don't know what it's worth. Well, traditionally, I will not price people's things. If they want to sell them, they have to give me a price, because honestly, a lot of the times, I don't know. I'm just taking a chance, and if you want to sell it to me and you're happy with $20 and I'm happy giving you $20, it's a good transaction. If I tell you I'll give you $20 and I know it's worth $2,000, that's not right.
Well, shame on you.
Correct.
But if they say they'll take 20, you feel that's okay.
If they tell me that's what they want for it and I pay for it that way, then I'm fine with it. So she told me she wanted $20. I'm thinking at $20, I might have $100 in this box stuff. I'm taking my chance. I'm fine with that. So I give her $20 off. She goes. I put the vase on eBay. It was marked Balique and Picard.
Oh.
I've now learned a whole lot
about
both.
Balique and Picard.
Within 24 hours, I shipped it to Chicago for $1,700.
Yeah, well.
And if I knew the lady, I would have gone back to her and said, you know what, here's a little extra, because I didn't know, and I know she didn't know. And what it happened to be was a particular signature on the side of that piece that made it so valuable.
Well, I'd hate for our listeners out there to think that that we just take glee in taking advantage of
Not
these situations.
All.
But, you know, some week we'll have you back and we'll tell the stories that go the other way.
Right.
Where we've just made horrible mistakes or people have misrepresented to us and there's a real problem. Carrie, just want to ask you quickly if you could tweak eBay, tweak PayPal in some way, what changes might you make?
Well, I want more protection on the seller end. Obviously, it's geared towards the buyer and it's geared to protect buyers. But, you know, sellers really are at a disadvantage anymore.
Okay, I agree. Carrie, we always ask, we always end every interview with the same question. What question do you wish we had asked you that we didn't ask you?
We're pretty good at this.
We're good at this game.
I don't know.
I'd say most of the time, there's just nothing else. We covered it. We got it. We now know what's wrong with eBay and what's right with eBay, too. A lot of people, like you, taking advantage of that of the opportunity to do business on eBay. But sure, it could always be better. Every auction could be better, except ours, Jewelry Exchange and Auction, tonight in Stone Oak at 7 o'clock. We're going to take a short commercial break now. Then we'll return to open up the lines and answer questions with our special guest, Carrie McCorkle, eBay power seller, and Adam and me, David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio. And everybody knows that you can get great deals on jewelry, coins, and collectibles at our Saturday night auctions. But did you know that we now have our federal firearms license? That's right. This is Texas, and Texans love guns. We are selling guns just as fast as we can get them, and our bidders want more. We need your unwanted firearms for our live auctions. We'll show them to over 10,000 qualified bidders to get you the highest price. And for a limited time, we'll do it for a reduced commission, only 20% of the sale price. And nobody else in town can do that for you. Just mention this ad to receive this special offer. And it's all happening at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction each Saturday in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604, member Better Business Bureau. Call 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com. And join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here on KLUP.
You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Our guest today is Carrie McCorkle, eBay power seller. We're talking about eBay, what it can do for you and what it can't do for you. We've been talking about eBay all week because people have been in preparation for this show, and we've received a few emails with some questions that I think are appropriate for us to address here. Adam, I think you have some questions.
I've got an email here from Ellen. She says, Every time I start to try to sell something on eBay, I don't get very far. It looks like there's a lot to know before you can begin. Is there a class I should take? Can I really do this on my own without someone showing me how to do it first?
I think that eBay is very straightforward on its ways of selling. There's actually, when you click on to sell something, you type in a description of what you're trying to sell, and it will suggest classes or different categories to put that item in. And then from there, it's pretty straightforward. You enter your description and a picture and your starting price. And that's, I mean, it is very straightforward in my opinion.
But you know, when I went to sell this $1 bill, I just wanted to list it very quickly and get on with my life. And I was forced to make all sorts of decisions about borders and numbers of pictures and picture packages and the fonts that I wanted to use. And I had the opportunity to introduce HTML, you know, web language in there. And also then I had to say the weight and how long, when will I ship it and what will the shipping cost? I'm no newbie, but after a while I was saying, well, but I still thought the joke was so funny that I had to do it anyway.
Well, I think the simpler you can make it. I'm a very big fan of flat rate shipping. So for your dollar, I would have done a flat rate shipping envelope and done the shipping charge at $6 and not worried about the weight.
I see.
I don't do borders. I don't do fonts. I just straightforward. If somebody's looking for something, they're not going to care if it's pretty writing or has cutesy borders. Right. They just want to see the item, get a good picture of it. That is key. If you have a great picture of your item, that is the number one concern you should have. Even if your description talks about being a jackass, they're not going to care. They want to see what it is.
Yeah, sometimes I'm looking for merchandise and surfing through eBay, and the text is so big, and there's so many borders and so many flowery designs, I don't even know what I'm looking at anymore. I can't even tell where I am.
Yeah, so I think the simpler you make it, the better.
K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid.
Yep, absolutely.
But it sounds like they're just trying to force you into deciding your terms and conditions before the sale, so there are no surprises at the end.
Well, I think, and if you watch that, you need to be very careful, because some of those cutesy borders and those extra pictures, and you'll notice there's charges for some of that stuff. So they're just making extra money by making your stuff.
Marketing.
Exactly.
Can you believe it? eBay is a marketing company?
They just want money.
They just want money. Well, their shareholders do, I promise you that. But it's your impression, Carrie, that somebody can get on there and with maybe a little bit of stumbling for their first listing or two. And another thing I noticed is once you have a format that you like, you can just use that format again.
Sure.
And make some changes within that format. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time.
Correct.
So you can use some standard language.
Oh, yeah.
And just change it out.
I'm very big on copy and paste.
Yeah. There you go.
Adam? But we have time for one more question. This is from Barry. He says, I see some jewelry on eBay that looks like it might be a good deal, but how do I know that it's real? If it's not real, how do I know I can get my money back?
Well, let's both address that. Carrie, why don't you go first?
I think the first thing you need to look at is the seller's reputation. Read their feedback. Look at what they've sold in the past. If it's something that they don't normally sell, then ask a lot of questions and still, you know, make sure that they've either got a return policy, and make sure that you follow the rules. Pay through PayPal, because as we've said before, they protect the buyers. So there is some recourse there.
I think that the best way I can address this as a professional auctioneer who specializes in jewelry is to actually, you know, it might sound like a little commercial, but on proxybid.com, you can't even have an auction unless you're a licensed auctioneer. You've gone through some kind of state certification, and believe me, to be an auctioneer in Texas, you have a lot that you have to go through.
And higher authorities.
Higher authorities to appeal to. Yeah. So, you know, always let the buyer beware, of course. Carrie, thank you so much for coming and seeing us this week and talking to our listeners. Please join us next Saturday at 7 a.m. We'll be back with our new program, Getting Started. How do you get started buying and selling stuff? A very special guest, Chucky Buchel, 13-year-old trader. We met Chucky when he was 10 years old. I can't wait for you all to meet Chucky. What a guy. If you have questions about getting started buying and selling almost anything, call us at the Jewelry Exchange, 210-592-8786, or email your questions to questions@inthemoneyradio.com. Again, questions@inthemoneyradio.com. We'll answer every single question, but the ones we like the best, we'll answer on the air. We hope to see you tonight at our live auction at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak, and we hope you'll all join us again next week for In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great day, and have a great week.